As announced, the scripture reading this morning will be from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 6. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek His refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon.
Well, good morning. What a terrific group to be before. Quickly, I'd like to thank the elders once again for your invitation for myself and my son, Zach, to be here. It's an honor in various ways, but to be in the same gospel meeting with your youngest son is a blessing I'll never forget. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. That will be etched forever in my memory, as long as my memory stays with me. But I told Zach, I said, remember this when I'm long gone, Zach. It's certainly a blessing. I don't know, again, if Brother Don Wright has a patent on this. But I love it. Again, you know, I just really appreciate that so much. That's a great icebreaker, Don. It really is. And just honored to be in your presence. Thank you again so much. As a proud father, I would invite this membership back this evening to hear my son. He has worked diligently and he's worked hard to be where he's at right now. And he will do you a very, very good job in presenting God's word. I said in the class that God is good all the time. And from what our brother read here in Psalms chapter 91, those first six verses again, just emphasizes that once again, that we can turn to God for anything and everything at any time in our lives. One of the most comforting scriptures I have in that regard is in 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 7, where Peter says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You know, we can cast our cares upon our family members. We can cast our cares upon our doctors and whoever else. But there's nothing like casting your cares and your concerns upon the Almighty God. I want to talk this morning about the terror of randomness. There's so much randomness in our lives, in our country, and not just our country, but from continent to continent to continent. There's a lot of evil going on. And there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that sometimes we just don't have a clue on how to answer it. We can't explain it. The numbers 9/11 obviously strike a responsive chord in all of us as the evil of that day that has been etched permanently in our collective consciousness. We all know what 9/11 means. It's the same terrifying silence that grips us when we hear the latest report of a recent shooting, whether it be Newtown or Columbine, whether it be a shooting in a theater, whether it be a tsunami, whether it be a hurricane, whether it be an earthquake, whether it be a wildfire. We sometimes just ask, why? Why are these things happening? And each time we're left to wonder, you know, why? Well, listen, think about this. Tragedy, in whatever form it may come, seems to just happen so randomly that it makes our world a very scary world to live in. Hey, how about church shootings? Whoa. Think about that. Who would have ever thought it? But look where we're at today in society, you see. The problem is not only that something bad happens to innocent people, and sadly it does so very often. Again, whether it's accidents, let's just take that for example. They happen every day, don't they, in some form or another. The why question, however, is always the same. Listen, if there is suffering in the world, and obviously there is suffering in the world, we at least, you know, we want some kind of a predictability about it. We want some kind of preparation for it. But it's the apparent randomness of tragedy that's the most terrifying. You see, we try to maintain order in our lives, don't we? And when things get out of order, what happens to us? Well, let's go to this example of maybe a veteran from a war. Veterans of war understand the terror of randomness, as the arbitrariness of death on the battlefield has left many a soldier asking the same haunting question, why? Why? And those who are left unscathed, physically anyway, they often feel guilty. They feel angry. They feel empty. They start thinking, if only. Now get this, why? And then we start to reason, if. If only. If only I had stayed longer. If only I had taken another route. Thus, in a strange sort of way, what do we end up doing? Well, we blame ourselves. And that's oftentimes referred to as survivor's guilt. And maybe you've experienced that in some degree or in some form. For our discussion, I want to open this up by asking two questions. Why? And what if? As we've just kind of looked at briefly here. Why? Turn your Bibles to Genesis 8:22. Why? Why? The reason for the why question, again, is because I think we expect order in our lives. I mean, God, after all, He orders His world. Well, He's God. Let's look at Genesis 8 there at verse 22. And what does it say there? Brother Matt, if you don't care to go ahead and read Genesis 8:22 for me, please. You hear, see, God has His order, doesn't He, from Genesis 8:22. And so what do? Well, we sometimes try to mimic God to a degree in that we want order in our lives, don't we? And there's nothing wrong with wanting order in our lives, but we surround ourselves, think about it. We want so much order in our lives that we surround ourselves with watches and with clocks and with calendars because we want order, because we want order. But sometimes, as life gives us a reality check, what happens? Sometimes things just get out of order. Things don't go the way that we want them to go. Isn't that really reality? That's really reality. A family lives comfortably in a Midwestern state, and suddenly, their lives are shattered by an F5 tornado. Why? We ask why. Think about this. A middle-aged man, he eats right. He exercises. He doesn't want to get heart disease. He's doing the right thing. But guess what? He goes to the doctor for a checkup, and they pull blood, and he's diagnosed with cancer. Can you believe it? And we ask what? Why? A young woman who loves to be a wife and who loves to loves her motherhood ends up getting raped while she's out jogging one day. And we ask, why? Why does this happen? A husband who plans a long-awaited vacation with the family has everything in order. And then there's a terrible crash that takes place because this person's drunk and he's driving. And now he's injured the family. The father, the breadwinner, ends up as a paraplegic. Why? Why? Where is the order in each of those situations? And how do you answer the question, why? Brother Don and Brother Zach, as gospel preachers, we well know We well know that one of the most stressful moments in a preacher's life is when you can't give the answer to why. I tell you, that hurts. Because your brothers and sisters, they're depending on you and the elders. And sometimes we just don't have the answer. I'm suggesting to you this morning, that's reality. We don't have all the answers. But one day, we wake up and we realize what wisdom will deliver. And that is this, that much of what happens is outside of our control. We can't control everything in our lives. Perhaps as much as we would like to, and maybe we're a control freak type of person, but we soon realize, I can't control this. And I think wisdom, again, teaches us that. Sometimes there are no satisfactory answers. Think about it. There's no sensible pattern to why things happen. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. I just can't figure it out. That's exactly right. Things are beyond our control in life. So that brings us really to the second question. What if? Now stay with me on this thought, if you will. What if? You see, the second question, what if, places blame on ourselves. Think about this. It says, in essence, if I had done something differently. Did you hear that? If. What if I had done something differently, then this wouldn't have happened. Hey, have you ever second-guessed yourself? Of course we have. We do it frequently in our lives. And I want us to think for just a moment. Do we really want that kind of power that accompanies the second part of the why question? What if? Do we really want to know future events so that we could protect ourselves? So that we could protect the pain and the hurt of our family? Do we really want that kind of power? And if so, what we're asking is, we're asking to be God. And church, that option is just not available to us. It's not available to us. So we need to scratch it right now if we're thinking, yeah, I would like that kind of power. See, here's my point, brothers and sisters. The best thing, since we don't want that power, we have an answer, believe it or not. The best thing, I say the best thing that we can do is strengthen the roots of our faith. Now think about that. So that when buffeted by the storm, are you with me? When the storm comes in your life, so when buffeted by the storms, we'll survive. Think of it like this. Like trees bent in the wind, but after the storm, there they are. Why? Because of their root system. Deep, strong roots, you see. And you think about it when the storm comes your way and when it blows you this way and it blows you that way. Let me ask you a question this morning. How deep are your spiritual roots? Are you ready for the storm that comes in your life? I want to say this. That's why some Christians weather the storms better than others. You see, some Christians learn, and it is a learned trait, to live in hope. Hope that in spite of tragedy, life is still worth the living. In your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to what this apostle has for us through the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 3. Peter writes here, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy..." I told you earlier, God is good, isn't He? And He's good all the time. Look at His abundant mercy here, "that He has begotten us again to a..." what? "To a living hope." Listen, we don't have a dead hope. We have a living hope, which God has given us how? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You stop and think about that. Isn't that a living hope? Isn't that what you really want in your life as a Christian? Don't you want those deep spiritual roots? You know what happened to Jesus. We read about it, and we try to feel what Jesus went through in His life. And He did it for you, and He did it for me. And now where is He? What Peter say? We have a living hope through Jesus Christ by the resurrection from the dead. Have you ever thought? Do you give much thought to the resurrection of the dead? We're all going to be resurrected one day. Think about that. Where do you want to be resurrected to? Where's Jesus? But at the right hand of His Father. Sitting right there at the right hand by the throne of God. Don't you want to be there one day? Don't we plan on going to be with God for all eternity at His throne? We have that same hope. We have a living hope. There's a song, and I don't know if it's in your hymn book or not. "Because He Lives." Do you know that song? Yeah, "Because He Lives," the song says, "I can face tomorrow." Are you listening? Yeah, "because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living because He lives." Oh, you want some roots deep down? You let that sink in. You let that permeate your heart. Yeah, "because He lives, I can do it." Remember Philippians 4:13? Oh, yeah. I can do what? I can do all things. How? "Through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me." Listen, I know that we have our issues in life. I know we have our problems in life. Because why? There's that word. Because why? Because it's reality, isn't it? Think about that. What does the Bible say? Listen. My wife and I have been where Don and Janice are. We've experienced just what they're going through right now. And if you want your faith tested, there it is. But wait a minute. I've got a resource. I've got something there. I've got a root system. And even though I have my moments and she has her moments, I'm coming back to the Word of God. I'm going to a passage like Philippians 4 at verse 6, where Paul said what? He said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Listen, if you do what verse 6 says, are you there? Let's flip there just real quick. Philippians chapter 4 at verse 6. Watch this. Brother Don, if you don't mind to read verse 7. Now listen, if you do what verse 6 says, what did verse 6 say? "Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." There's rule number one when life deals you a severe blow. What's verse 7 say, Don? Did you hear that? If you do what verse 6 says, do you see what happens at verse 7? "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds." Think about that. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's keep pulling that thread, Don. If we do what verse 7 says, see the result of verse 7, what's verse 8 say? "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, Dwell on these things. Listen, when the storms of life come, that can certainly change your way of thinking, let me tell you. You know that. You've experienced that, haven't you? Sometimes we start thinking negatively. We hit the panic button. And yet, we've looked at verse 6. We've looked at verse 7 about the peace of God. We've looked at verse 8, how to think on the right things in times like this. But we're not through. Think about this. Verse 9, Don. Implement them in your lives. They're there. Those things are written for a purpose, just as the whole Word of God is. And I'm there. It's there for us. Think about it. I want you to understand that. It is there for us. And if you read up into verse 13, as we just quoted a moment ago, you just see how this context just continues to flow, and it flows for our benefit. Let me tell you two stories quickly. There's the story of Job. I want us to consider that just for a moment. Go ahead if you want to and turn back to Job chapter 1. And let's glean from that story. Here it's a story of prosperity and virtue, because behind human eyes there was a confrontation over the faithfulness of this man. All right? And let's look there beginning at verse number 9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Verse 12, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." You know what you and I can do and what we've done, I'm certain? We've read this story, haven't we? And we know the outcome. But guess what? Job lived it. He lived it. Now you pick up reading there in verses 13 through 22, and you know that he lost everything. Everything. And so Job lives this story, and he couldn't skip a few chapters ahead like you and I can. But listen, Job's perspective through all that he lost, look at it in verse 13. "There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. A messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided them and tucked them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands. They raided the camels. They tucked them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Look, are you there? While he was still speaking, guess what happens? "Yes, a great wind came from across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house. It fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Have you ever had anything remotely close to happen to you like it happened to Job? Verse 20, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshiped, saying, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" How do we react when bad things happen in our lives? Is our first instinct to worship God? and let God know how good He's been to me? Or is our first instinct to be like Mrs. Job? Over in chapter 2, what, around verse 10, is it? Or verse 9? Job, do you still retain your integrity? Job, we've lost everything. Even our children, Job. How can you worship God, Job? Why do you retain your integrity? And Job will answer that. You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. What a pattern to follow. Listen, Job's perspective changed. He had his moments, mind you. I'm sure you know the story. The three friends. He had his moments, didn't he? But here's the clue. Job's perspective changed when he finally stopped talking about God and came to know God. Chapter 38, 1 through 4, chapter 40, 1 through 4, and chapter 42, 1 through 3. You can see Job's perspective changing toward God. He's asking questions there. He really knows who God is now. And through it all, I suggest to you that Job learned two vital truths. Truth number one, he learned that behind the apparent randomness of life, there is an awesome and mighty Creator. What a lesson to learn. I say it again. Behind the apparent randomness of life, Job recognized there's an awesome and mighty Creator. That God is in control, even though Job could not always see it. Doesn't that sound just like us? We can't always see it, but we know God has a reason for things in our lives. He learned, number two, that in suffering, God gave him power. Now think of this. The power to decide how to respond. Now think about it. How do you respond? What's our first instinct when bad things happen in our lives? Do we blame God like Mrs. Job? Do we question God? Why God? Why did you let this happen to me? Do you see the need for those deep spiritual roots yet? Yeah, that when the storm just knocks you every way around, but at the end of the storm, you're back on solid ground. You withstood the storm, just like the Bible says you will. Let's not forget what Job teaches us. The other story I want to share with you is the story of Joseph. A story of betrayal and blessing, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 50. We get to the end of his story, and the end really isn't the end at all. Like Job, there's a story kind of within a story, and one that he could not see. But yet we find God's providence at work here. Even in tragedy, to bring about a higher purpose. Verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, and they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us, and he may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid, Joseph says. I will provide for you and your little ones, and be comforted them, and spoke kindly to them. Real quick, Job's life Where did he end up as a young person? In the pit. Envious of his siblings. We'll get rid of him. Well, Dad favors him anyway. Look at that coat he made him, you know. Throws him in the pit. And then the band of Ishmaelites come by, you know, and they get him. And look where he goes, just real short. From the pit to the pinnacle. Second in command, mind you, of Egypt. Prime minister, if you will, of all of Egypt. But where was he when he began? In the pit. Did Joseph ever take his eyes off of God? Even in his prison time? No. And look. Look what happens in the end. You know, our life is like a huge landscape that extends far beyond what the eye can see. And who knows? Who knows how one experience so singularly horrible can set in motion a chain of events that will bring about good for years to come? Paul maybe had that in mind in Romans 8:28. You remember that all things work to good to them who love the Lord? Didn't we see that in Job? Didn't we see that in Joseph? Can we see that in our lives? And here's the point that I don't want you to miss. God can triumph over evil. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God can triumph over evil if you let Him work in your life. 1 Corinthians 10 at verse 13. Listen, we're coming to a close here. There hath no temptation. There hath no trial. There has no problem overtaken you in life. Did you hear that? But such as is common to man. You understand that, don't you? That as long as we're in this flesh, as long as we're in this tent, there are going to be problems in our lives. There's going to be trials in our lives. And Paul says that there. But keep reading. He says, but, even though these problems are coming, but, God is faithful. Did you hear that? Have we seen that already? But God is faithful, and God will not suffer you. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. Hey, who created us? Wouldn't it be fair to say that God knows us better than we know ourselves? Sometimes we're ready to just shut down and have this meltdown and just give up. But wait a minute. God is faithful. He's not going to allow me to be tempted above that I'm able. But will with that temptation do what? Will with that trial do what? Will with that issue do what? Well, He'll make a way of escape. Why, Bernie? That you may be able to bear it. Did you hear that? There's a way out. He'll make a way of escape. Why? Because He's faithful. He's faithful. What I'm asking this morning, church, before we close is, if your root system, spiritually speaking, is not as deep as it needs to be, if you're tossed to and fro like a wave of the sea every time something bad happens in your life, then you need to get deeply rooted more than that. Don't be uprooted. Don't let the things of this world cause you to give up your faith in Almighty God. If our faith is never tested, how would we know where we would be, spiritually speaking? You know, James 1:2, count it all joy when you fall into these various trials. That, now, reading that on the surface, well, I don't like that. Yeah, but if you keep reading, there's a reason for these trials. You endure those trials, you're going to be a better person. You're going to be a stronger person. Your root system is going to get down deep, you see. Suffering is part of the freedom of choice. That's two truths we need to focus on. God gives to each of us the freedom to choose. Some will make the wrong choice. You've made the wrong choice before, haven't you? Somewhere in your life, we've all made the wrong choices in life. Were there consequences because of the wrong choices? Well, sure there was. That's the nature of that beast, okay? However, because some make evil choices, do we want God to take away the right that He gives to all mankind, the freedom to choose? No, we don't want to do that. And secondly, suffering is no respecter of persons. From continent to continent to continent to continent to continent to seven, I think. Yeah, everybody suffers. Everybody has the same. They cry over in Africa like they cry in America. They hurt in Australia like we hurt here in America. It's a universal language in that regards. So, the next time we ask, why me? Perhaps after this sermon, we might want to just revisit that. And would it be fair to ask, why not me? I mean, what makes me so special as to be delivered from all the pain and all the heartaches and all the loss? Really, what makes me so special? Listen. We've got to remind ourselves that we've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where what? We'll never grow old. And someday yonder, we'll never more ponder. But we'll walk the streets as pure as gold. I want to say in closing that a world of fairness gives us what we want. A world of fairness will. It'll give us what we want. But a world of grace gives us more than we deserve. And that's what we've got through Jesus Christ. Sometimes there are no answers. Sometimes, like Job, we must at times just close our mouth, acknowledge the workings of God, even in ways we don't understand. It's not so much why, but who. Who can answer those questions? Who's got the answers but God Almighty? Would you stand with me for a moment and let's sing the chorus of Farther Along and remain standing for the invitation, if you will. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Do you need the prayers of this church this morning if you're a member of the body here at Brown Street? Has your faith been wavering and not on solid ground? Listen, it's a much easier sermon to preach this way than it is to live it, because I've been there. I know. But I know something else. I know that God is there for us. If your faith has just been tested and you feel that you've just failed the test, you've not kept your faith and trust in God, why not ask for prayers from this good church here at Brown Street to pray with you and for you, that in the days to come and in the future and the years to come, that you'll have a deep root system, spiritually speaking. And when those storms of life come and they blindside you, you're ready for it. Oh, you're down, but you're not out, you see. That you can still look up to God in prayer, that knowing that He'll never leave you, He's right there with you through the whole journey, wherever it may be. Listen. God paid a debt that He didn't know. His grace is available to you this very day. If you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you stand outside. You stand in a lost condition. Jesus has died for your sins, died to give you an opportunity to go to the glories of heaven for all eternity if you make the right decision and come to Him on His terms. He's waiting. But wait a minute. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've become a Christian, and yet your life as a disciple of Jesus isn't what it ought to be. Perhaps you've severed that fellowship with God, and you're back out in the world from whence you once were, and now you're back there wallowing once again. You don't want to be caught in that situation should Jesus come back even today. Why not restore yourself? Let's go to the invitation hymn and sing that. Thank you.